Yes, we're looking at Mark chapter 10. I've been given, I think it's, is it three verses? Should say 34. Good spot. Well spotted there.
Yeah, do find that passage if you want to. That picture is a picture of a Roman road going up to Jerusalem. I don't know if it's the one that Jesus used. Might be. But a similar kind of thing is a road that Jesus used. And this is what is happening in the passage today is the disciples are following Jesus, and a few other people as well are following Jesus up the road to Jerusalem. And as I read the passage in a minute, I want you to think about what it means to follow Jesus. And why would anyone follow Jesus? Why would anyone follow Jesus? So, let's see if this works. There we go. And let me just read it to you. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. After 3 days, he will rise." Why would you follow Jesus on this path? Why would you follow Jesus? That's my question. Why follow Jesus? There's a lot to get out of this passage. I love that when we're going through the Gospels, you're talking all about Jesus, because that's the one we all want to talk about, and that's the one we're all following, and that's the one, well, we're here. We're all here because of Jesus today, aren't we? Why follow Jesus? Well, I want to start with some reasons why not to follow Jesus. Why you might think, let's not follow Jesus because of this. All right, and here's one. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand what Jesus is doing. Sometimes, right? Says in the passage, the disciples were amazed. Amazed. Why are they amazed? Jesus, why are you going to Jerusalem? That is a dangerous place for you. You've been attacked there before. They've tried to stone you there before. They've said they're plotting to kill you there before. Why are you going to Jerusalem? Why are you doing it? Why is this happening? Just in a slightly different passage to illustrate it. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back. Jesus, you're mad. Jesus, you're stupid. This is not the place. It's dead easy. Just stay away from Jerusalem. You'll be fine. That's all you have to do. In Jerusalem, they'll try and kill you. That's where all the religious leaders are. They've tried before. Haven't you learned your lesson yet? Come on, Jesus. Wake up. Listen about it. And of course, Jesus said to them, just in the previous chapter or two, "Do you not understand?" And they didn't understand. Jesus, why are you doing this? And we sung this song, didn't we? And we were asked to reflect on it. You know, you're perfect in all of your ways. God is perfect in all of his ways. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, though. Anyone ever thought, God, why are you doing this? Nobody. Yeah? Let me try that again. Anybody ever thought, God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening to me? Why is it not going to plan? Why is it not going the way I want it to? Why am I sick? Why has my wife died as she did 3 years ago? Why is this all going wrong? Why am I not happy? Why is nobody listening to me? Why? Whatever. And the disciples here didn't understand. Jesus, why are you doing this plan? This is not Why can't we just carry on and do more miracles and preach over here and got fabulous cloud over here? All the crowds come, thousands and thousands of people come and they all listen to you and it's all great fun being your disciple there. But now you want to go to Jerusalem, what, when it's really not fun? It's actually dangerous. You know, why are you doing this? Why, God? But they still followed him, didn't they? But they still followed him. It's all right to think, God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, why is this happening? But they still followed. We can't always know what God's plan is. We can't always understand what God is trying to do. We're not always, we should expect not to always understand why something's happening, what God is doing, what is happening, what the greater plan is. Even when Jesus tries to explain it as he does here in this passage, they still don't get it really as you read on in the passage. They don't understand, but they still follow him. Not understanding God isn't really a good reason for not following him, because how can you expect to understand everything that God's doing? He knows better than us. He has a better plan than maybe you've ever thought of, because he's actually a bit cleverer than you. And so the answer is you have to trust him, even when we don't understand, right? You have to trust him even when we don't understand. So not understanding Jesus is going to happen sometimes in your life, but you should still follow him. Here's another reason not to follow Jesus: fear. Says here, those who followed were afraid. They're genuinely afraid, right? They're thinking, oh, this is dangerous. This is going to be scary. You know, I'm not sure I really want to, you know, what's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem? You know, they're probably going to try and kill him. There might be a fight. There might be a riot. I might get caught up in all sorts of things. They might arrest everyone who's following Jesus. They might do, right? They might kill everyone who's following Jesus. Right? What do we do then? You know, they are properly afraid. You're like, you know, what could happen here? This is not a fun place to be, following Jesus on the road up to Jerusalem. They're thinking, you know, don't know what's going to happen here. They are actually afraid. And how many times does it say in the Bible, do not fear? Quite a lot. Hundreds of times. But sometimes you're still going to be afraid, aren't you? Sometimes you can't control your emotions all the time. Sometimes you're still going to be afraid. Like, what is going to happen? God, what is going to happen here? And for many Christians in the world today, and we've talked about persecution recently, haven't we? You know, it genuinely is like following Jesus is a risk, right? And you might lose your job. You might lose your life. You might lose your livelihood. You might, if people know you're a Christian in some places in the world today. And these people are afraid of what might happen if I carry on following Jesus down this road. I could just stay at home. And then it wouldn't be dangerous. I could just stay at home. But they carry on following Jesus, because following Jesus is even more important than what might happen as a result of it. Similar thing. Following Jesus can be dangerous. Jesus says that it's going to be dangerous, at least for him. He said they'll mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. Can be a dangerous thing to follow Jesus. It is a dangerous thing for many people to follow Jesus. The disciples are feeling this. The people are feeling this. Danger is in the air. And yet they still decide to follow. Is it dangerous for you to follow Jesus today? Probably not in this country. But it can carry risks, can carry costs sometimes. People in this country do sometimes lose their jobs, sometimes get thrown in prison and so on for their faith and stuff. So it can be dangerous, but you should still follow Jesus. So that's enough reasons not to follow Jesus. Let's have some reasons to follow Jesus, shall we? Here's one. Jesus is a leader. Jesus is walking ahead of them. You could imagine the scene, kind of, you know, there's the disciples and there's another crowd as well. This says the disciples and the others. So there's a whole group, maybe 50, maybe more, people following Jesus, and Jesus is ahead of them, right? And they're following him. What does it mean to be a leader? What's the definition of a leader? Anyone know? No. Nobody knows what the definition of a leader is. Good idea. Yeah, I'll tell you what the definition of leader is. It's dead simple. A leader is someone people follow. That's it. A leader is someone people follow. And guess what? By that definition, Jesus is the greatest leader ever, isn't he? Right? Because more people follow Jesus than anybody else in the history of the world, right? Jesus leads people. People follow Jesus because Jesus is a leader. And he's out there, he's leading us, and he's leading you, and he's leading me. And people follow Jesus because he is a leader, the best leader, the greatest leader ever. People follow someone because. Why do they follow someone? Well, that's the kind of answer that Cheyenne was giving, right? Yeah, they follow someone who they trust, right? They think, I can trust this person, so they follow them. They follow someone who cares. They think, this person cares about me, so I'm going to follow them. They follow someone who is competent. They think, this person can do it. So they'll follow that person, right? Jesus is the ultimate trustworthy person. You can trust him in every way. Jesus is the ultimate caring person, totally cares for you, knows all about you and cares for you. Jesus is the ultimate competent person. He knows, he understands, he's got a plan, he's got it all sorted. The ultimate person to follow is Jesus. And he's off ahead in this scene. Why is he ahead and not talking to the others? Probably he's thinking about what's going to happen, and he ends up talking to them about it in the passage. Probably he's praying, thinking over, what do I do? How do I get these disciples to understand God? How do I get them to understand? You know, having this kind of conversation with God, probably, you know, leaders need to go ahead and think and strategize and pray and all that kind of stuff. Follow Jesus because he is the ultimate leader. Why else follow Jesus? Jesus knows where he's going. And they're on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. Jesus, you follow someone who knows where they're going. Oh, where are we going? We're going to, Nathan went to the Excel Center last night. Who knows where to go? I'll follow you, right? That's how it would be, isn't it, right? Who knows? I've been in lots of situations. Does somebody know the way? I'll follow you then. Well, Jesus knows the way, right? Jesus knows where he's going. He knows where he's going, and they're following him. He's on ahead. They're following him. Jesus knows where he's going. But how does this work for us? He knows where your life is going, doesn't he? Right? He has a plan. He has a plan here for his life and for the disciples as well. And he has a plan now for you. He knows the way for your life. And it's the best way for your life. Right? He knows where your life is going. He knows the best way for your life to go, to glorify him the most. So he is going ahead. Are you going to follow him? Because that is the best way for your life. He is the person who knows where to go, how to get through it, how to persevere, how to do what he wants you to do the best. Why follow Jesus? Because he knows where he's going with your life. Here's another reason to follow Jesus. Jesus is courageous. He knows what's going to happen, but he still carries on. He knows that they're going to flog him, beat him, spit on him. We'll talk about all these things in a minute. And he still carries on, right? He's not thinking, maybe he is thinking, I'm afraid. But he's not thinking, I'm going to stay out of this. You know, I'm going to go for the easy life. Right? I was going to stay with the crowds. That's what disciples want. Let's just follow the disciples, you know. Let's just carry on doing some miracles. What's so wrong with that? You know, let's just carry on healing people and getting the crowds. I could teach a few more people for a little bit longer. No. He knows what he's here to do. And he has the courage to see it through. And he sees it all the way through to the end, doesn't he? He doesn't cower. He doesn't stand back. Doesn't fear. Doesn't decide, whoa, not sure about this. He goes and does it. He's courageous. People follow someone who's courageous, and Jesus has got to be the most courageous person there's ever been when you think about all that was against him. Similar thing, Jesus determined. We are going up to Jerusalem. Nothing is going to stop Jesus from doing what he wants to do. Nothing is going to stop him. We are going to get there. We're going to do it. I don't care how afraid you are. I don't care how dangerous it is. I don't care whether the crowds like it or not. I don't care what happens. I don't care what they inflict on me. And they're going to inflict various things on me. I'm going to see this through. He's determined to do what God wants him to do. He's determined to do it. He's determined to die for you and me. He's determined to do it. He's absolutely set on it. In Luke 9, it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. It's like a determination. We are going to get there. We're going to get this done. Isaiah 50 said he set his face like a flint. He's determined to do it. He's determined to do it. He's, you know, people like someone, follow people who are determined. They know what they want in life, and they're going to out. They're going to go and do it. They're going to get it. They're going to make sure it happens. This is what Jesus is like, and he's like that with your life. He's determined to get you to glorify him. He's determined to get you working for him, doing what he wants, fulfilling his promises, fulfilling his plan and purposes in your life. He's determined to do it, and he will do it. He'll get his way. He's a determined leader. Why else do we follow Jesus? Jesus fulfills prophecy. He began to tell them what was going to happen to him. You know, Jesus, as a human being, Jesus was human and God, right? But in his human form, he wasn't omnipresent, was he? Right? He wasn't everywhere at the same time. In his God form, he is. He's right here in this room right now. He's in every room. He's in every place, right? But as a human, he's only in one place at one time. Also, as a human, he doesn't know everything. He only knows what a human can know because he's only a human. In his God form, he knows everything. But as a human, he doesn't know everything. But he did know what the Bible says. And here's what the Bible said about him. The Bible predicted that he would be condemned to death. Isaiah 53, we'll read that a little bit later. The Bible predicted, as he said, that he would be delivered to Gentiles in Psalm 22. It says he'd be given over to the dogs. That's code for Gentiles. The Bible predicted that he would be mocked, as he said, I'll be mocked. And it says in Psalm 22, he'll be mocked by people. The Bible predicted that he'd be spat on. Isaiah 50, verse 6. That he'd be flogged. Again, Isaiah 50, verse 6. Again, that he'd be killed. And that he'd rise again. He's got all this from reading the Bible. Did you know that? Right? Almost everything that he predicts here is from the Bible. Notice, interesting, by the way, he doesn't say he'll be crucified. Right? Even though you could pick another scripture and say he'll be pierced. Another scripture said his bones won't be broken. All these other things. Okay? And that's what happened and so on. If you thought about it, maybe you could have got that. But he doesn't say that. He says all of these things, because the word crucifixion isn't in the Old Testament, right? So he doesn't say that, and this, you know, lends authenticity to this is what Jesus actually said. Mark isn't back reading it into saying something that Jesus said. He's recording the actual words he said. He said he'd be killed, not to be crucified. He prophesied it in advance based on what the Bible said. And Jesus knows what the Bible says. He knows there's so many prophecies about him because he is the Messiah. Hundreds of prophecies about when he would come, about where he would come, about where he would be born, about the kind of things and miracles that he would do, and about multiple things about how he would die and about rising from the dead afterwards as well. Jesus fulfills these prophecies in the Old Testament that are given 500 years and more before Jesus even lived. Jesus is the one who fulfills all these prophecies. That is a reason to follow him, because he's the fulfillment of God's plan. He's the promised Messiah that God was going to send. Follow Jesus because he fulfills prophecies in the Old Testament. At the same time, you also follow Jesus because as God, he does know the future. He does know, and the Old Testament shows that God knows the future. The prophecies show that God knows the future exactly, like precisely, right? It's like he doesn't just know where he's going. He knows how he's going to get there and all the ways it's going to get there and all the people. He knows everything. He knows the future exactly, and you don't, and I don't. And sometimes I'm glad I don't, because who knows what I would be worrying about if I did know the future. Right? We're not knowing the future, and God does. So he knows what's going to happen. So that's the best leader ever to follow. He knows where it's all going to happen. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. He knows exactly, and he's got it all worked out. He's got it all planned, all organized, all sorted out for you. So follow him because he knows the future precisely, exactly, at every point. He knows what will happen. He's got it. He's not surprised. He's not surprised. You know, I'm surprised sometimes. God, what's this going to happen for? What's that gone wrong for? But God isn't surprised. He's like, yeah, I've got that sorted for you. Yeah, I know about this. Yeah, this is another way for you to learn something about me. That's what it's there for. Another way for you to grow in me. It's another way for you to expand your faith. That's what it's there for. I knew this. I planned it for you. Right? He knows your future. He had it all planned. He knows. And it's all about trying to build your faith. It's all about trying to grow you. It's all about trying to get you to follow him better and fulfill his purposes in your life. He knows the future. You can trust him because he knows what is going to happen. Another reason to follow Jesus is that he is the Son of Man. He says the Son of Man will be delivered up. Son of Man is his favorite title of himself by far, for a long way. Sometimes he calls himself some other things, but he keeps on saying the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And here he says it this time as well. And it's a reference back to Daniel chapter 7. And the disciples knew this. And the followers knew this. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, it talks about the Ancient of Days, which is clearly God the Father. And it says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom was one that will never be destroyed. And everybody's thinking, who is this Son of Man? Because you've got God there, who is the Ancient of Days, and then this Son of Man is like, he's also God by this definition. I mean, only God can have everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and authority over every nation, every people, this kind of thing. And this is Jesus' way of saying, that's who I am. Have you got it yet? That's who I am. I am God. I will have everlasting kingdom. I do have authority over every tribe and people and nation and tongue. This is the leader I am, actually. And the disciples get this in a way, right? I know this because in the very next verse, James and John say, oh, no, no, Jesus, how about, you know, you give us one thing. What is that? Can we sit at your right hand and your left in glory? Right? They've got this bit. This is the bit they're excited about. Yeah, Jesus is going to actually rule in glory over everyone. I want to be there with him. Can we sit at your right and left, please? Selfish so-and-sos, honestly. You know? But they don't get the suffering. They don't get the pain. They don't get all of the other stuff that's going to come, right? They don't closing their ears to that stuff. I don't really get that. Maybe he's just spiritualizing this. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. You know, what do you mean you're going to die and rise again? No. But you're going to reign in glory because you're the Son of Man. This is exciting. Let's go for that one. Let's talk about that, Jesus. Jesus wants to talk about the pain and the suffering. And do you realize what's going to happen? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. No, but Jesus, when you reign in glory, can we come and be with you? Shut up. That is not what I'm talking about now. And he ends up basically saying that to them, doesn't he? Right? He says, no, 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 this is not for you. And in fact, yeah, he, at verse 45, even the Son of Man, says it again, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the Son of Man. He died for claiming to be the Son of Man when he was on trial before Pilate and before the chief priest. He claimed this title because this is him, the King of Kings, the ruler of rules, the one with everlasting dominion, the one who reign over every nation, why on earth wouldn't you follow this man who is also God? But also Jesus sacrificed himself. He came to die. He said, they'll kill him. They'll kill him. He also said, they'll condemn him to death in this passage. They'll condemn him to death. He'd obviously read Isaiah 53. And this is what he's referencing when he says this. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he'd done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. That last bit is a prophecy of resurrection. Though he will die, he'll end up prolonging his life and seeing his offspring and all this kind of stuff. But it's saying there that he will be condemned and punished, and he will die for the sins of the people, for the transgression of my people, it says there, as an offering for sin. Jesus knew this was the purpose, the ultimate purpose in a way, of his life, was to die for you, was to die for me, was to die so that we didn't have to pay that price, so we didn't have to die and be punished for our sins. This is again what he says in Mark 10:45. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ransom, the idea of setting people free, set people free from their sin. That is why Jesus died. This is the most sacrificial thing that anyone has ever done. You know, he took the sins of the whole world in his body while he was on that cross for you and me. Who wouldn't follow someone who's given their life for you, who's shown how much he cares by giving his life for you? Who wouldn't follow someone who's set you free from the power of sin, set you free from the power of temptation, set you free and from paying the penalty that you deserve for the things that you've done? Who wouldn't follow that person if you've got a choice about who to follow? And finally, of course, follow Jesus because he rose from the dead. After 3 days, he will rise. So whenever I talk to Muslims, why follow Muhammad who's dead when you can follow Jesus who's alive? Right? Why wouldn't you follow Jesus? Jesus rose from the dead, Muhammad didn't. Follow him. They never have an answer to that. And he did. He rose from the dead. No other leader has risen from the dead and come back and said, this is what you should do. Follow me. Jesus did that. Right? It's absolutely, this is obviously the person to follow. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Nathan is doing an EPQ and he's decided to do it on evidence for the resurrection. So he wants to show all his teachers that they should believe in the resurrection. Of course you should. So they're all having to read his evidence for the resurrection and go through all the evidence of what happened and the historical evidence and why it's trustworthy, why we can trust the Gospels and all this kind of stuff and how historians all agree that Jesus died by crucifixion. They all agreed that the tomb was empty, no body was ever found. They all agree that the disciples experienced him after he died. They all agree that disciples preached that Jesus had risen from the dead straight away after Jesus died. They all agree that disciples were transformed in their characters from being afraid, as you saw in this passage, to being bold and courageous. Who wouldn't be bold and courageous when your leader rose from the dead? They all agree that Paul radically converted from being anti-Christian to being the most bold and powerful Christian there has ever been. James, the brother of Jesus, converted from being anti-Jesus and think he's a complete nutcase to say, no, this man is the Son of God. This man is the Messiah. Historians all agree that those things happened. The only real explanation is, actually Jesus did rise from the dead. And when you put it together, the prophecies as well, and what he taught and everything else, that is actually what happened. He rose from the dead. He came back. He's alive today. Why wouldn't you follow Jesus? What an amazing leader Jesus is. No one can match him. He's the ultimate one. Everyone should follow this man, Jesus. Let's stand, shall we, and respond. Let's just pray, shall we? And maybe you need to decide to follow Jesus afresh, or even for the first time, perhaps, today, and say, God, yeah, I need to follow you. I need to follow you. And just be refreshed in your own decision. If you've already made a decision to follow Jesus or to trust him with what's happening in your life, that he knows the future, he knows the plan, he knows where he's going, he knows what's happening in your life, he knows it exactly. Trust him. Trust him. He's got it. He knows it. Maybe you just need to decide, yes, Jesus, I'm going to trust you and follow you. I'm sorry for getting fed up and slacking and being fed up with what's happening in my life. God, I want to trust you and I want to follow you. I want to do whatever you want. You gave your life for me. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you. So I'll just give you a few seconds now just to resolve in your heart between you and Jesus now about following him or trusting him afresh today, deciding I'm going to trust in Jesus again. I'm going to follow Jesus afresh, afresh. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus. What an amazing, amazing leader we've got. What an amazing founder. What an amazing king and God. What an amazing sacrificial leader. What an amazing victorious leader. What an amazing leader to follow that we can trust with every detail. We can trust with every plan. We can trust with our whole lives. You know, you know, you know, Lord God. And I pray that today we would resolve to follow you, to follow Jesus every step of the way, every part of our lives, every area of our lives, every aspect of life. Follow Jesus. We want to give our lives to following Jesus. We want to follow you absolutely sold out. Let our hearts be captured afresh. Let our minds be captured afresh. Our spirits be captured afresh to follow Jesus wherever you lead us. To follow Jesus in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen.